Well, I want to spend some time on the word with you this morning. The word is so incredibly wonderful. Is that a right way to say it? Yeah. I mean, you know, what would it be like to be on the earth in life and in even these sort of situations without the word of God, without the heart of God expressed to us, without being able to actually know the will of God? It would be a terrible thing. To me, it would be a terrible thing anyway. I want to carry on and build on what Janet was speaking about midweek. Some of you may not have seen the midweek message. Maybe quite a few of you didn't. I encourage you to go back onto the midweek message Wednesday night and watch that, and you'll get the context of what I'm talking about here this morning. But I want to build on that this morning. In that message, Janet talked about a vision she saw. She only mentioned a brief part of it, but she saw God, Jesus, adjusting some things and bringing a reset. And then she went through in the scriptures and looked at when you reset something, you take it back to its original settings. You use the phone as an example. When you push the reset button or reset combination, you wipe the phone and take it back to its original setting. You may or may not want to do that. But so Janet went back into the start of Genesis to see what God's original team, what his original setting was, what his original mandate for mankind was. And of course, there it is written that man was to have authority in the earth, authority over everything that crept, everything that flew, everything that walked, everything that the world was about. They were to have authority over it. They were to have authority in the name of the Lord and the character of God. So that was the original mandate. We know, if you know the scriptures, if you know the story of the fall and redemption, you'll know that they lost the mandate. They lost the authority. You know that God's enemy, Satan, Lucifer, that ancient dragon, the Bible calls him, was given the authority of earth because it had been given to man. God does not take back what he's given. It was given by man to Lucifer because of a violation of a covenant and a set of desires that kicked in. But we also know that there is another Adam. The scripture calls him the last Adam or the second Adam. And we know that he came back and he retook the dominion that the original Adam lost. And he took back that dominion for himself as the Son of God, but he also took back that dominion on behalf of his bride or on behalf of his church. And that is all established through the death, the resurrection, the ascending into hell to take the captives away into captivity into glory with him. And then to eventually ascend into heaven and be seated at the right hand of the Father to exercise dominion in the earth. This dominion is exercised through a voluntary yieldedness to him at the stage. But eventually when he returns, and he will return, it will be a dominion that will cover the whole earth, and every nation will make representation to him as part of that whole dominion. There's going to be a whole dimension of his kingdom that will be established in a greater dimension than we see now. But when Jesus was being tempted, and I'm only laying a foundation, when Jesus was being tempted, as recorded in Luke, there were three specific temptations he faced from Satan after he had finished, or toward the end of his fast in the wilderness, after just being baptized by John the Baptizer. It says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. The second of those temptations was to do with Satan offering Jesus the authority of the kingdoms or the glory of the kingdoms. But there was one condition, that Jesus would bow down and worship him. And if Jesus would bow down and worship him, then he would give him the glory or the authority of the kingdom. And Satan makes a statement, because it was delivered to me and I can give it to who I will. Jesus did not dispute that idea. What he did do though is he resisted Satan and he said, I will not bow down and worship you. I will worship God and God alone. Quoted Deuteronomy. And that was the end of that temptation. And I'm so grateful that he did, because if Jesus had yielded to Satan's temptation, all would have been lost. Everything would have been lost. would have meant utter corruption. It's unbearable to think of. People say, well, could Jesus have done that being God? Well, what was the point of the temptation? And so Jesus took back a dominion, or knew he was going to take back a dominion, and it wasn't going to be by the way that Satan offered, because number one, it would never have happened. It would have been total corruption. So here we come to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. If you've got a Bible with you, turn it to you, but the reference, or it may come up on the bottom of the screen. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. I'm reading from the New King James Version. This is after Jesus has been crucified. He's been resurrected. He's now been appearing to the disciples, teaching them about the kingdom. Incredibly important and powerful teaching. And then he's just about to ascend to the Father, to the right hand of the Father. The disciples are gathered, and he speaks. These are his last words before he ascends. Recorded in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." By the way, the title of the message today is Growing in Kingdom Authority. I don't think I mentioned that.
That's right.
Sorry about that. So the title of today is Growing in Kingdom Authority. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The most amazing statement, and that is called the Great Commission. It goes with the Great Commandment, of course, and that commission is for us because we've received it, because it was given to the whole church. And so we are walking in the ways that those original disciples received from Jesus, and then we're responsible for teaching all generations of disciples from then on through their word. That's why the word of the disciples is so important to us, because they tell us what Jesus commanded them, which was to be passed on to us. So all authority has been given to Jesus. He didn't have to yield to Satan through deceit or temptation to get that, which he would never have received anyway. But at the cross, through the shedding of his blood, through the stripes, the beatings, the wounds, all of those things, Jesus purchased back that authority, won it back as a man, as the Lamb of God, as the second Adam or the last Adam, and was then the head of a whole new creation called the new creation. And you and I, if you're in Christ, are part of that new creation, and we are the ones benefiting from this all authority that has actually been delegated to us to take the whole mission forward on the earth. Not only in the earth, but also in the spirit realm. It's an amazing thing. The Passion Translation puts it this way. All the authority of the universe mm-hmm. has been given to me. Most translations will use the in heaven and on earth, but that really means all of creation, all of the universe. All the authority of the universe verse has been given to me. I want you to note one thing. Adam, the original Adam, our forefather, was given authority in the earth. But Jesus, the last Adam, has been given all authority in the universe.
That's cool.
That's another level.
Increase.
It's an increase. And we are in him.
Yeah.
So we haven't actually been restored to the status of the first Adam. We're actually in the last Adam, the second Adam, and it's another level of authority again. Excuse me. That's an exciting thing to me.
Yep.
Jesus demonstrated, I'm only on the first line of my notes. Oh my goodness.
Look at that time.
Jesus demonstrated authority while he was in his earthly ministry before his crucifixion and resurrection. He demonstrated authority over so many things. Number one, he demonstrated authority over sickness and disease. All authority has been given to him. That authority has been given to the church to go. Wow. And so all the things he taught the disciples, they were to teach us. So one of the things he taught them was how to minister to the sick and see them recover and see them healed. That's one of the things we're to walk in. Okay? We have the authority to do that.
Right.
Don't let anybody tell you they're not. I don't care what their hat looks like, what their robes look like, or whether they have a big stick. I don't care how many degrees are after their name. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything I've commanded you. So Jesus commanded them to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons. So we just cut around all of that unbelieving in-between stuff, go right back to the original commission, the reset, if you like, and we've been commanded and equipped and empowered to heal the sick and to cast out demons. He healed people who were injured. He demonstrated authority over injury. He demonstrated authority over blindness, even people who were born blind. He demonstrated authority over deformities. The man with the withered arm, he told to stretch it out, and he stretched it out and he was healed. He demonstrated dominion over all sorts of demonic spirits, every kind of demonic spirit that was known in that time that people were afflicted by. He demonstrated authority over, cast them out with the word and set them free. Even one man, he cast out thousands of demons in one ministry session. Amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. He demonstrated authority over nature and creation. He walked on water. He calmed the storm. Calmed a violent storm. Some people say it was a demonic storm. Whether it was or whether it wasn't, he demonstrated authority over it. He demonstrated authority over lack. He demonstrated authority over lack by multiplying food. And we know there's been many stories since then of disciples, of believers in Christ, being in situations where they've been suffering lack, but the food is multiplied to feed a crowd or to feed an orphanage or to feed a people who were in starvation. Then, of course, he demonstrated authority over civil unrest. There was a crowd at one stage who wanted to throw him off a cliff because they were so offended with what he was saying out of the scriptures, but he just walked right through the middle of them and left. Because it wasn't his time. It wasn't his time to be taken and crucified. Jesus knew that was coming. But at that time, he demonstrated authority over a violent crowd that was intent on killing him. He just walked right through the middle of it. I want to just say here, Jesus had authority while he walked on the earth. When he sent out the 12 and when he sent out the 70, he gave them authority to cast out demons, heal the sick, to preach the kingdom of God is near, to preach repentance, to change what they were believing so they would align with heaven. This is what Jesus was given authority to do, and he's given that authority. And even more so now that he's died, been crucified and shed his blood. I'm serious on this message because this is not a fun time for me in the sense of I've got a whole serious thing on me on this because this is absolutely important for the time we're living in.
That's right.
Fear will try and get a hold of our minds and our hearts. Whenever we yield to fear that is suggesting things that are contrary to the revealed will of God, we end up submitting our minds and our hearts and our faith to the authority of that fear. I do not want myself, my wife, my family, the people I'm responsible for, or under the sound of my voice, yielding to that false authority called fear that wants to bring about the agenda of darkness. I want you to experience faith in your spirit, confidence in God, knowledge of the will of God, so you can move forward in faith and not come under the authority of a false destiny called fear.
Very good.
Amen?
Very good.
Amen? So that's why I'm sharing this with a sense of seriousness, because we're in serious days and this is a serious message. So Jesus, one thing I want to say, Jesus did not try and exercise some sort of authority over people's wills. People who try to do that, try and exercise authority over another person's will to get them to conform to their will or their idea, it's called witchcraft. It's called manipulation. It's called ungodly control. Jesus never did that. He always did it by invitation. He always looked for a faith response, a yielding response to the word you're sharing. And that's how it is today. And so how do we grow in delegated kingdom authority? I'm going to share four basics that we just need to state right from the word go. And then we're going into just a few ways that we can grow in this kingdom authority. Okay, number one, first thing we do is we need to receive. We need to believe, we need to submit and align to the truth.
Can you say this again?
We need to receive,
mm-hmm.
we need to believe,
mm-hmm.
we need to submit and align with the truth.
There you go, thank you.
Who is the truth? Well, Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the living word of God. John 1 describes him. the living word of God. He was the word made flesh. God's true self made, or God's true self, rather, made visible, touchable, hearable, feelable. He is the expression of God himself in the realm of human experience. So Jesus is all that God is in nature, character, intent, motivation, demonstration, kindness and goodness and love. He's the walking, visible demonstration of that in human experience. Mm-hmm. It's just phenomenal. You have seen, Jesus said to Philip, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, number one, become a disciple of Jesus. We don't become disciples of Jesus. We don't even begin to connect with kingdom authority. Simple as that. Number two, be baptized. So they were to go out and preach the word. We're to go out and preach the word. And those who believe, we're to baptize them. Baptism is an outward demonstration of your receiving the word, believing the word, submitting to the word, yielding to the word, and aligning yourself with the word of God and with heaven. Period. Simple as that. Your baptism is the point at which you said publicly and to the demonic realm and the angelic realm, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm yielding my life to him. I'm aligning my heart and my thinking with him and with all that he is and all that he's done and all that he's got to give me. And I'm aligning myself with him. I'm becoming his disciple and I'm becoming a citizen of the kingdom of heaven today. That's what we said when we got baptized. Amen. And if you didn't realize that, go back to it and just reaffirm that in your heart and your thinking. So be baptized. Be baptized in Christ. Be baptized into Jesus in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Find somebody. Somebody can baptize you in the bath. Just get baptized. Number three, ask for and receive the Holy Spirit. Christianity is not a life of us trying to improve ourselves in our own strength. Christianity is not us trying to conjure up or psych up the joy and anything else or faith, anything else to try and somehow live a Christian life. The Christian life is the life of the Holy Spirit living in us, bringing transformation and righteousness and goodness flowing out of us and power flowing out of us. That's the Christian life. The so-called Christian life that's just rules and regulations and self-effort won't lead to the results that God actually intended. It'll actually lead to a life of heaviness and frustration, quite frankly, and disappointment with self. And if you feel like you're achieving this, then you'll end up being tempted into self-righteousness, which smells even worse. So ask for the Holy Spirit. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Father said, Jesus said, if you guys know, even though you've got evil tendencies or you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So here's the key. Desire the Holy Spirit. Ask the Father for him and he will give you the Holy Spirit. You will receive and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You will receive power. You'll be able to live supernaturally. You'll be able to work miracles, minister the gifts of the Spirit. You'll receive a heavenly language, which is the language of your spirit and the Spirit of Christ joined together in you. It's that language, which is the Holy Spirit speaking in you, but it's also your spirit man with the Holy Spirit. And it's a unique language, which is incredibly powerful. And I want to say this, now is a good day to be praying and building yourself up in the Holy Spirit as you pray in tongues. Don't neglect that powerful gift. Number four, grow in faith. These are just basics I'm covering. Grow in faith. Feed yourself the word of God that will build faith within your heart. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't come by sentimentality. It doesn't come by wishful thinking. It doesn't come by somebody's affirmation saying. It comes by the word of God, receiving the word, believing the God, and interacting with the word of God in your heart and in your spirit. Amen. That's how faith comes. And then finally, in number four, make the kingdom of God your highest focus and your highest pursuit. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or the righteousness that comes from him. which is the righteousness by faith. And all these things, all these less important things, but needful things, will be added to you as well. What we wear, what we eat, what where we live, how we, a roof over our head, so on and so forth. Those things will be added. So that just four basics I wanted to cover to at least get yourself into the place where kingdom authority can begin to flow through your life. Amen. So how do we grow in kingdom authority? Got a few more minutes now. How do we grow in kingdom authority? I'm just only going to cover three areas. There are more than this, but these are the three basics. Okay. Number one, exercise authority over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Exercise authority over yourselves. If we can't exercise authority over ourselves, we're not necessarily going to have authority over demons and authority in the spirit realm and authority in prayer and authority in declarations.
Yeah, very good.
Okay? Gain authority, get authority over yourself. Part of the fruit of the spirit, which is one of the other amazing provisions of the presence of the spirit in our lives, is one of the dimensions of the fruit of the spirit in our lives is self-control, self-governance. The more internal government we have by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, the less external government we need.
Mm.
If we lack self-control, sooner or later we're going to need external government, even to the point where if we lack self-control with our rage, our anger, revenge, whatever, we'll end up being under the control of prison guards in prison.
Mm.
Okay? So it'll bring control from others around our life because we need it to for other people to be safe from us. So the more internal government we've got, the less external government we need. So exercise authority over yourself. Three areas. Exercise authority over our appetites. You know, let's face it. We've got an abundance of food, most of us, and we have to exercise authority over the appetite for that chocolate, that ice cream, that steak, that those Anzac biscuits, those the chocolate cake. Whatever the case may be, we just need to exercise authority over our appetites. Look, Janet's better at it than me. And so, but I've got, I know that when I eat too much of that thing, I'm going to hit 120 kgs. You know, I know. And if I do, it's going to be bad for me. It's going to be bad for my marriage, potentially. It's going to be bad for my health. And it's potentially bad for my witness. So self-control. Okay, self-control over the appetite for sexual pleasure, appetite over the for power with people, appetite for how we spend money, all sorts of appetite issues that we need to actually govern and have control over. Are they bad? No, but they need to be governed.
Mm.
Excuse me for a second. Number two in that area, exercise authority with our emotions.
Mm.
Emotions are beautiful when they're beautiful. Emotions can be wonderful friends, but lousy masters. Most of us have got unbearable feelings when certain things trigger us. Learning how to master those unbearable feelings or deal with them or see healing come to them is a powerful thing. If we live by our emotions, we will live a roller coaster life. They're a terrible master. But without emotions, life would be very bland and very colorless. Now, also we need to exercise dominion or authority over our tongue. So three basic areas, our appetites, our emotions, and our tongue. 1 Peter 3 verse 10, great passage. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good, and let him seek peace and pursue it. A lot of that is connected with the tongue. So we could spend three messages at least just dealing with the basics of the power of the tongue and what the scripture says about tongue, but we've got to move on. As I said before, emotions can be an amazing. They're just amazing when they're positive and life-giving, but when they're negative and in a bad place or you know full of heaviness, they can be a terrible master, and they can prevent us from making really good decisions. We know that panicking people find it very difficult to make to decisions. What is panic? Panic is where our fear and our emotions overwhelm us and we're not able to think clearly. Proverbs 14, verse 17, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. A quick-tempered man, what is a quick-tempered man? A quick-tempered man is a man who does not know how to govern his responses, his reactions, his mood, his emotions. He doesn't know how to govern them. He's governed by them, and he's quick-tempered, and he acts foolishly. How many of us have either caused suffering or suffered at the hands of somebody who's been very quick-tempered? It just doesn't go well. Mm-hmm. Okay, gaining authority over ourselves is crucial in growing in kingdom authority. Simple as that. You want to cast out demons, heal the sick, release decrees and commands into the spirit realm in prayer. Start by getting authority over ourselves, managing ourselves. Right. The second one I look at is the growth in authority, is growing in authority in your home. Growing in authority in your home. As parents, this especially applies to us, whether it's men, women, husbands and wives, whether it's a single person dwelling, whatever, it's still your home. In Exodus, we see where the people were told before they were released miraculously from Egypt, from that 400 years of slavery, God wanted to call them out, bring them out to a place where they could serve and worship him alone, and then be brought into a promised land that was full of milk and honey, so to speak, and live life according to the way God wanted, rather than the years of slavery and serving somebody else. And in Exodus, we see where they were at a certain point in time, toward the end of this whole time, which would facilitate their release into freedom, they had to take a lamb, had to examine the lamb, make sure it's perfect and all that. Then on a given day, they had to kill the lamb, roast the lamb, collect the blood of the lamb, put the lamb, blood of the lamb on their doorposts and the lintel of their house. Then they were to eat the lamb. It was a lamb for a house. And here's the situation. It was the parents that had to do that. The parents had to take the faith responsibility for their home. They couldn't take responsibility for somebody else's home. They could only take responsibility for their own house, for their own home, and all that were within their house. So here's my encouragement. Learning how to take responsibility and authority for your house, for your home, for your household, for your house is really key in growing in the knowledge and the exercise of kingdom authority. You see, Moses issued the decree, but they didn't fully understand why they had to put the blood up there, why they had to do all this, why they had to go through all this process. They did it in obedience and they did it in faith.
That's right.
They had already seen God move incredibly powerfully, but if they didn't do it, their whole home was vulnerable to what was going to happen next.
Mm.
But if they did do it in faith and obedience and they took responsibility for their house and in faith they applied the blood, ate that lamb, did according to the instructions, then they are the ones that were spared. The plague or the plague passed over them, as it were, and their household was spared. Therefore, they could get on with the next phase of the call of God and the mission of God for their lives as a company of people. So here's the deal. Husbands, wives, men, women, whoever you are, please learn to take authority for what comes into your house.
Yeah.
In the natural, we've got a very vivid picture of it right now because various people, we're going through various ways of dealing with preventing virus coming into our house. And there's ways that we've been encouraged to do that based on medical understanding and scientific understanding and so on. and so we're doing those things. Many of us are doing those things because we're conscious about not letting something into our house.
Sure.
But there's all sorts of other things that people have been let that we could let into our house as well. We can let pornography into our house. We can let violence into our house. We can let fornication into our house. We can let adultery into our house. We can let abuse into our. We can let all sorts of things into our house, as it were, that actually we have authority over. When our children were growing up, they knew there were certain things that were not permitted in our home. Because for Janet and I, it was a matter of governing our home. Did we get it right all the time? No. but we had certain things that would not come into our home, were not allowed in our home, and that we would not partake of or allow to be partaken of in our home, because we are the government of our home, and it's about kingdom authority. We can't help other people with their homes if we can't administer our home. So here's my encouragement to you. Take authority over your own life, your own appetites, over your tongue, over your own emotions. Take authority over them. Don't let them rule you. Take authority in the authority and the strength of Christ. Number two, take authority over your home and in your home. An elder is to govern his home. They're to govern their homes. And so that's part of that. I want to share a quick testimony of something that happened in our home, which by the authority of Jesus had a very, very different result than the enemy intended. We had a granddaughter whose parents, my daughter and our daughter and son-in-law, were staying with us at the time in transition from one situation to another. Their beautiful granddaughter. One morning, the granddaughter was not waking up, was not responding. Eventually got into a place where there was just no life, just no signs of life. She was only 4 years old. We were called from our room to join them and try and sort out what was happening here. There was no pulse. There was no signs of life. There was no breath. There was no signs of consciousness. She was going pale, blue, all that. That continued for around about 20 minutes. But I want to tell you this, this is in our home. Something rose up within us and said, not in our home. Our granddaughter is not going to die in our home, anywhere for that matter, but in our home, not on our watch. So this indignation at the plan of darkness rose up against what was coming against our dear, beautiful little granddaughter. And so for the next 20 minutes, Janet was calling her spirit back. And I was commanding the spirit of death and rebuking the spirit of death and commanding that spirit of death to loose her and to break its power off her life and so on. There was a few times we checked pulse, checked breath, all those things. There was nothing. But then after about 20 minutes, a dear little girl suddenly shuddered. Suddenly her eyes fluttered, suddenly coughed and took a breath and bubbles came out of her mouth and we had her back. The medical people arrived. They examined her. It turned out that she had a little bit of a development condition, which she's fine now, which meant that her blood sugars weren't being...
She couldn't break down protein
into sugars. Her blood levels would drop right down. And in those sort of situations, the little children basically go into a diabetic coma, same as that, and then go into cardiac arrest and die. That's where our little granddaughter had got to. Mm-hmm. She was in cardiac arrest. She had actually died, but by the power of Jesus, by the power of his blood, by the power of his sacrifice, by the power of his name, by the power of his word, and by the power of his delegated authority to us in our home, and that being exercised with our mouth through faith, that little granddaughter went from death back to life. She is now, 11 years old? A while ago, she had some tests on her brain, showed that she was operating at a higher level than her age. She's a sharp, bright, beautiful young lady. And I want to tell you what, sometimes when I look at her, my eyes just fill up, my emotion wells up, because I realize that that little one, we could have lost her. But by the power of Jesus, by the power of the authority of his name, she's alive with us. And we've got a testimony to the power of God. So I want to tell you, my friends, have authority in your home. You've got authority in your home. We'll wrap up now, but I want to wrap up with this. I want to just mention this. You see, when you grow in faith because you've been imbibing the word of God and interacting with the word of God, and faith, and it's mixed with faith in your heart, faith grows and develops. Then you exercise that faith, like muscle that you grow and develop. That faith is in your mouth. The kingdom of God is activated by the faith, by the revelation that's in your mouth and that comes out of your mouth. Jesus spoke to demons. He spoke to storms. He multiplied bread by giving thanks to the Father. He spoke to blind eyes. He spoke to deaf people. He spoke to lepers. He spoke and people were healed, transformed and redeemed. And gave them commands to do. They acted on it and they received the healing. Well, I want to tell you, my friends, when that word gets into your spirit and faith is in your spirit, that revelation that comes out of you is the very word that activates the power of heaven and releases heaven's resources into your situation for the glory of God, for the glory of his name, and for the extension and demonstration of his power and his kingdom. Amen. And so as we finish on this, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, I just want to finish on this again. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. The authority of the universe has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I want to tell you, my friends, when you're in a situation where hell is screaming at you and fear is trying to intimidate you, but in your spirit you center in on Christ and who he is and all of his goodness, I want to tell you, my friends, something rises up in you, and it's contrary to the kingdom of darkness. It's contrary to the word of fear. It's called the word of faith, and it comes up out of your spirit. It's in your mouth, and when you declare that thing in faith, things shift, things happen, things take place. I want to tell you, if there was ever a day when we need to be a people of faith with the word of faith in our mouth, it's today. Amen? Amen. We're not going to come under the authority of fear and the kingdom of darkness. We're going to rise with the authority of faith. Amen? So I'd love to pray with you. I just got a bit excited there, but I'm allowed to do that because this is what excites me. This is what spins my wheels. This is the life in me. I want to tell you, I'm so grateful for it. So, Father, I want to thank you now for the beautiful people that are under the sound of my voice. You may be a person that has not ever come into that place where you've yielded and submitted to the word of God, to Jesus himself. And maybe you haven't begun this journey of discovering who God is, the magnificence of his kindness and his love for you. And you've never come into a place where you think, sense you've got any resources from heaven, any ability to change a situation that's intimidating you, any ability to see God actually move in with his power on your behalf and shift a situation. You may never have begun that journey. I want to invite you into that journey today. And you do that by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. How about you pray after me today and open your heart to him and receive him into your life and begin this amazing, exciting journey of a heavenly authority flowing through you. Amen. Just pray after me. Father, I come to you today.
Father, I come to you today.
And I open my heart,
to you.
And to your Son, Jesus Christ.
And to your Son, Jesus Christ.
I confess, Lord, that I've been a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. I receive your forgiveness now.
Jesus,
come into my life.
Jesus, come into my life.
Be my leader.
Be my leader.
Be the leader of my life.
Be the leader of my life.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be the one who saves me.
Be the one who saves me.
Lord, I welcome you now.
Lord, I welcome you now.
I confess that you are the Son of God.
You are the Son of God.
That you were crucified on a cross for me.
You were crucified on a cross
to take my place in judgment that I deserved.
To take my place in judgment.
Father, I welcome you.
I welcome
Jesus, you. Jesus, I welcome you.
Jesus, I welcome you.
Make me your son. Make me your daughter.
Make me your son. Make me your daughter.
I receive you now.
I receive you now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm now part of your family.
I'm now part of your family.
Teach me, Lord.
Teach me, Lord.
Bring people alongside me that can help me.
Bring people alongside who can help
grow
me.
Grow in you.
Grow in you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you prayed that with me today, either for the very first time in your life, or you prayed that as a rededication of your life to him, we'd love to hear from you. There's the contact details at the bottom of the screen. There, and we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you can comment on the live stream if you're watching. We'd love to be in touch with you. We'd love to help you grow. And if you live in Christchurch or nearby, and when we get back into our corporate meetings, you'd be totally welcome to come and be with us and become part of the family. We can help you grow and become friends and just within the family and just serve God together, grow in God together. It'll just be so awesome. There's a few other situations I just want to pray into today. I want to pray especially for the businesses that are going to be restarting in some form, in some way, as we go into level 3 on Tuesday, midnight, but effectively Tuesday. And some of you, right now, you're contemplating, you're working on strategies. Maybe some of you are ahead of the game. Maybe some of you are a bit behind the game and there's a bit of anxiety there. Maybe there's a sense of what do I do? I want to pray right now because God can give you the wisdom you need. He can give you the strategies you need. He can bring the help you need to make a good start and to build something even more powerful than you've actually been in the past because of different opportunities in this situation that perhaps weren't there before. So Father, I thank you right now for all of the people who are either run businesses, own businesses, or managers, or significant leaders within the business world that are able to start up now and level three and are then and also preparing even for level two. Father, right now, I just ask you to release a download of wisdom and strategy. Wisdom and business, you're the greatest businessman ever. You're the one who knows how to do the greatest deal. So Father, and release the greatest strategy. So Father, we're calling on your wisdom now for every person who's stepping out in this situation now. In Jesus' name, give them a great download. Give them an encounter. Give them a dream. Give them a vision. Give them wisdom from your word. Give them wisdom from wise people from wherever, Lord, coming into their life to help them move forward. I pray for a rapid download from heaven for every leader, every business owner, every business person in Jesus' name. I release that to you now in the name of Jesus, right now. Spirit of confusion, go. Spirit of panic and intimidation, go from every life under the sound of my voice. Wisdom and power of God, come right now. Be released right now into these situations right now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, right now. Is there anything you wanted to pray, David?
I was just wanting to pray to people that have had a change in their job situation and are now looking for another job.
Yes.
So
let's please
just pray into that. And I just encourage all Living Waters to be praying at the same time now together with us. So, Father, right now we lift up every person that, Lord, has lost a job or is having to change their work situation. Father, we pray for wisdom for them. But, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are the great door opener. And Lord, you provide for your children. So Father, I pray now, Lord God, for every single man and woman who's out there, who's part of Living Waters, who's under the sound of our voice now, who needs an open door. That Father, you would open that door for them. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray for encouragement this week, Lord God, that Father, you would make the way forward for them. Father, I thank you that you went before the children of Israel, Lord God.
That's
you
right.
provided for them, Lord God. So Father, I thank you that you provide well for your children.
That's
provide and release, Lord, release those jobs, release those opportunities, Lord God.
That's
and Father, thank you for your peace around their minds, Lord, and confidence around them, Lord God, as they step out, Lord, in you, knowing that you go
That's
before them and you're also their guard, their rear
That's
guard. Thank you, Father. We just pray that release right now of your provision in Jesus' name.
That's right.
Thank you, Father.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. We agree. We agree.
Yeah.